And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here. Move the Sticks as we kind of get through that dead period of the NFL calendar here. We've got all the OTAs are over. Players are on vacation. Coaches, executives are on vacation, but not us, Buck. Still working hard here.
Still working at it ahead of the holiday. Still trying to get at it. A lot of good stuff going on, though.
Yeah, we've got plenty of good topics. We'll get you here in a second, what we're talking about on today's show. But, Buck, when are you taking off for the opening? I know you got the opening coming up here, the big high school All-American event.
I am actually taking off tonight on a red-eye. Get to Dallas tomorrow morning, and it's on. Get a chance to see all those top-ranked high school recruits, some of the college guys that come through, and some of the pros. I think Antonio Brown should be one of the guys that comes through.
Now, knowing how competitive you are, and I know you've been wildly successful coaching the teams up there. You have a big 7-on-7 tournament takes place, and so a lot of the coaches are guys we've known forever, guys that you've played with or against, you know, guys like Ryan Clark's up there coaching. A lot of guys like to run their mouth a little bit about their teams.
Yeah.
But I know you've had a lot of success, so knowing how competitive you are, just be honest with me. Have you like watched some
not
clips?
Yet.
Like,
not
you
yet.
Watching clips on not, your guys yet?
I have in the past. Not yet. I do know the quarterbacks. My quarterbacks are Dylan Moses.
Tell me it's Brian Maurer.
No, not Brian Maurer. I got Tua's younger brother.
He just committed
to
Tennessee. That's what I was saying.
I got Tua's younger brother as my other quarterback.
Leah.
Yep. So,
nice.
So it starts at quarterback, and then it kind of works its way out. I got a lot of kids actually from California. So Michael Pittman's younger brother that plays at Calabasas High School, he's one of the receivers. And then Joseph Delgado, who I think played at St. John's Bosco, he is also one of the guys. So we'll have a little bit of a Cali connection. I normally do well when I have Cali dudes on my squad. So we'll see. We'll see if we can have some fun.
I'm looking forward to hearing the stories coming out of that camp when you get back. Save all the good stories for me. I want to know.
Oh, it should be fun.
What went down there. So Seaway's involved again?
Yeah, Seaway, Willie McGinnis. I'm trying to figure out who else. We have Chris Claiborne, who has a squad of local fame. Some other guys. Napoleon Kaufman, who I played with the Raiders,
yeah,
is there.
We got some guys.
Keith Bullock is helping out. Natron Means is one of my partners on the squad. So it should be a fun time dealing with these high school dudes. And I tell you, they only get bigger, faster, stronger. So we'll see if we can contain them. But moving it to Dallas at the Star, the guys will get a first-class experience being in the Cowboys practice facilities, seeing kind of how they do it in Texas. It should be a really, really exciting time for everybody.
Yeah, a little taste of the NFL for these high school kids. I love it. On today's show, going to talk worst to first. There's a video series you can watch on NFL.com where all the different podcasts go through and make the case for each team that finished in the cellar in their division, how they could make the leap all the way up to take over the division. So we'll kind of go through our own version of that and just kind of see if it is at all possible how that could get done for the teams that finished in last place in each division. Then we're going to do something just to have some fun. This is the way, 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 all caps way, too early week one preview. Just going to look at a storyline for the opening week of the NFL season for each game. Way too early, but what could be the kind of the thing we'll all be watching for in these individual games, get ahead of ourselves there, have some fun, and do the same thing for a couple of the marquee games in the college football slate there in week one. So a lot of ground to cover, Buck. But before we get to the football, have you been following what's going on with this NBA free agency?
Yeah, I saw that LeBron evidently texted KD, talked about maybe going to L.A., just checking in, just kind of checking, you know. What's up? What you doing?
Dude, my son sent me – my son's 14. He sent me a text message with that, like, screen grab that LeBron had texted KD. I mean, this is – all ages, people are totally into what's going on in the NBA. And it got me thinking, as much as – I think the NFL draft is far superior to any other draft in any other sports league. It's not even close. But with free agency, I don't know, Buck. I think I might have to give the nod to the NBA just because – you don't see marquee players like this. Like Kirk Cousins this year, and we can argue Kirk Cousins, what is he, top 7, 10, 12 quarterback in the league? I'm talking about in the NBA, like 4 or 5 of the top 10 to 15 players in the league seem like they have an option to leave. They're free on a yearly basis.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that works out, but the players certainly exercise their power, created a CBA that gives them an opportunity to kind of get out and have some movement. player movement is good. It increases the interest in the sport. We're seeing a lot of people kind of waiting with bated breath to see what LeBron James does, because he's the big domino to fall. Where he goes, some other guys may follow. So it's really exciting. I will say this, what we have done in our league, we have free agent frenzy, but with all the mechanisms that teams have at their disposal, franchise tag, transition tags, and some of the other things, they can retain their top players, and you see that teams really go to the table early. That's why we've seen guys like Danielle Hunter and some other guys get locked up to these big deals. Typically, the marquee guys, yeah, they don't get on the market like that.
I think one of the reasons it's different is because in the NBA, you're more than willing to kind of gamble on these one-year deals or these 2 years with a player opt-out after 1 year, because there's not quite as much risk of injury as the NFL. In the NFL, you get presented with the 5 to 7 year
contract.
Take it.
I gotta take it. Yeah,
I gotta take it. Take what you can get there. So it is different. But give me some NFL names here, because right now we've got LeBron and Kevin Durant could leave. Everybody says he'll stay there in Golden State. Paul George just opted out, so he could leave. Chris Paul, I believe, could leave. And then we're talking about Kawhi Leonard being available probably via trade. Those are five elite-level players. And so give me some NFL names. Like, if you're an NFL fan that doesn't follow the NBA, what would this kind of be like in the NFL world?
Well, I'm going to say, and I'm going to talk about these guys who their contracts are coming up. They're maybe poised to take a fifth-year option, or they may play on their fifth-year option. But for me, LeBron James, the equivalent would be Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a 2017 Defensive Player of the Year. For whatever reason, they've been trying to get this deal done, but they haven't been able to get it done. If he hits the market, I think we could say he is the best defensive player in the game. He ranked the top defensive player in the game on our NFL Network top 100. So I think he's the LeBron equivalent. I think hands down people know and appreciate his talent and what he brings to a team. And I just believe if he hit the open market, man, you're talking about opening up the coffers. People have to really, really get out the big checkbook to stroke a check for him.
Yeah, and to me, you look at guys like Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers-type talents. I don't know who else you want to put in there. Lev Bell.
I put Le'Veon Bell up there with a Kevin Durant, kind of like a score and assassin. You have an opportunity to get a guy like that. Like, he kind of completes the package, because not only are you getting a running back one, but maybe you're getting a wide receiver too, a guy that his combined touches is going to bring a lot of production and a lot of points. You can't go wrong having scores. We saw Kevin Durant was able to be a two-time MVP. He is the open market. Everyone is trying to get to him.
Kawhi Leonard, I mean, what is that, like a Julio Jones level of player?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm – shoot, good gracious. Yeah.
I mean, these are rare – that what I'm getting to here is I think it would be fun in the NFL. As NFL guys, it would be fun in the free agency period. Now, the teams, the general managers wouldn't like it because they want to control their guys and control their assets and keep some continuity. But, man, it would spice up the offseason if we did see – maybe it comes to the next CBA, but a way to kind of give these players a little bit more freedom. So we could talk about this kind of stuff in the lead-up to free agency. Players of this caliber, of this magnitude being on the open market would be fun.
Yeah, a little more movement. A little more movement would certainly increase interest. Man, you talk about the ratings pop. It would be something that would be must-see TV. You think about the shows that we do right around free agent frenzy. God, imagine if some of the names, you know, you had an Odell Beckham Jr. hit the open market. You had an Aaron Rodgers hit the open market. A lot of intrigue would surround those teams.
When I was in Philadelphia the year of the quote-unquote dream team, you know, all those guys came in. But a lot of those guys on the back ends of their career, out of their prime. I mean, the NBA, it's different just because these guys are still right in the middle of their prime. So it does make for a fun offseason there in the NBA. We'll look forward to seeing what happens there during the World Cup. We got the NBA. But we still have some football to get to, Buck. And I mentioned it earlier, that worst-to-first series, you can find it at NFL.com. What do you say we go through the divisions and just give me the likelihood that a team could make the leap from worst to first, and then tell me if they did, how the heck it would happen. And I'm going to give you the challenge of all challenges here, number one, because I've got the AFC North and the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I love this. This is a great challenge. I'm saying the division comes back to the Browns. They're able to win it because, one, they have a talented roster. Tyrod Taylor does a great job of finding a way to get this team to the playoffs, coming off of his experience with the Buffalo Bills. And really, they will win the division if their defense plays at a championship level. With Greg Williams, they have the pieces in place. Myles Garrett a season ago, they believe Emmanuel Ogba can be special. Denzel Ward has gotten good reviews in terms of being a cover corner. You then add in a high-pressure system that is poised to generate turnovers. If they are top two, three, in the turnover battle with Tyrod Taylor taking care of the ball. I think the Cleveland Browns could be a backdoor team to kind of sneak their way to the AFC North.
Yeah, maybe you have to have an injury to somebody like a Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. But I think this team could end up being the second-best team in the division, as crazy as that sounds. They've won one game in 2 years. But you mentioned to me the formula, run the ball, play defense, protect the football. The formula has kind of been out there for what the Jags did last year. You know,
yep.
A team that had been picking up there over and over and over again. Finally, you accumulate enough of those elite assets. You're aggressive in free agency. And all of a sudden, it looks like it almost happens overnight, but it's really been kind of a building process here for this team. I think you could see them take a massive leap. I'm skeptical they can scale the mountain and get all the way to the top of the division, but if they've ended up having a 9-7 year, that, I don't know, that totally shocked me, as crazy as that sounds for a team that won one game in 2 years, but the roster's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, the roster is in pretty good shape. They have done a good job of kind of putting some things there. We'll see if they can get the ball to bounce their way. It hasn't the last couple of years, but it'd be interesting to see if Hugh Jackson can kind of find a way to now take a team that has a little more experience and a little more talent, see if he can get them to the winner's circle with more frequency.
All right, Jets trying to make that move in the AFC East. Can they do it, and how does it happen?
I think it all is about their young defense. They've been putting together the pieces on defense for the last few years. We've seen Leonard Williams come in, Jamal Adams, Marcus May, some of the other guys that they've added. You bring in a Tremaine Johnson to go with Mo Claiborne on the other side. So defensively, they're looking like an outfit that can be pretty good. I think the X factor for the New York Jets is their rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold. Can Sam Darnold make enough plays? I don't believe this is a super talented team on offense, but his ability to be a gunslinger, to be a playmaker, to make some things happen off the script, I think that could be the difference. With a defense that is playing at a high level, you mentioned the Jacksonville Jaguars and the way that defense was able to play. With a defense that's able to play like that in New York, maybe Sam Darnold can make a play or two a game to get them to the winner's circle. Maybe they can somehow find a way to string together 9 or 10 wins and find their way to the top if, for whatever reason, the New England Patriots decided that, you know what, this year after lording over the division for 15 years, we decided we're going to play nice and let someone else have a chance at the title.
Yeah, it would have to be a situation where the Patriots fall off a cliff. They're not be going downhill. They have to fall off a cliff to lose their grip on this division. To me, the X factor is the offensive line. Whether it's Sam Darnold, Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, if that offensive line can protect them, help them run the football, take some pressure off the quarterback position, I think you could see a drastic improvement here with this team. I do like the young pieces on defense. I think a little underrated out there on the outside at wide receiver. They've got some good young options there. I just don't know if they can consistently protect whoever's playing quarterback. That would be the reason I think it would be a big challenge for them to try and make that leap.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it does come down to their ability to protect, their ability to run the ball. Who's going to be the guy to do it? I know your guy, they've talked about quite a bit, Eli McGuire. Maybe he can be the star in the making that kind of comes out of nowhere and becomes a big-time player. But someone has to be able to be the bell cow. I just don't know who the offensive star is, the guy that you kind of build around offensively. Maybe Sam Darnold is able to elevate the player, some of those guys that are in the huddle.
All right, we'll see what happens there in the AFC. All right, this might be the easiest case to make. It seems like there's two arguments pretty out in the open here. AFC South, you've got the Colts and the Texans. How do they make that leap? Obviously, you start at the quarterback position for both teams.
Yeah, you start at the quarterback position for both teams. For the Colts, I just don't see how the Colts can do it. I just don't see a team that is talented enough to climb their way to the top. If it does happen, it's because Andrew Luck plays like the Andrew Luck that we expected when he came out of college, a guy that is able to put this team on his back. He plays at a high level. He throws for 4,500 yards, maybe puts up 45 to 50 touchdowns, and they find a way to become an offensive machine with Frank Reich kind of dialing it up on offense. For the Texans, it is all about Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson comes and duplicates and replicates what he did a season ago, I think they certainly can do it. Offensively, they were putting up over 30 points a game, 34.5 points a game, I think, when he was at the starter. And then the return of their defensive stars, J.J. Watt, Winnie Merkulis, those guys give them an opportunity to play. With Honey Badger coming in, man in the middle, defensively they can do it, particularly with Jadeveon Clowney kind of coming into his own. They have the pieces in place. It's all about their young quarterback getting hot and maintaining a hot streak as they go through the year.
Yeah, I'm with you on both counts here. I think the Colts are going to have a big challenge. Look, Andrew Luck, we still haven't really seen him, and what he can do coming off that injury. If he can revert back to form, that's a big mystery. And even if he does, there's still so many other holes on this roster. how they're going to be able to rush the passer. You know, can this offensive line come together? I do think this is probably the best group of five they have up front in quite some time there. So they have invested in the offensive line. I think they'll be better there. But to me, I just defensively, there's too many holes there for them to make that leap. I think the Texans do make the leap. I'm not going to sit here and try and make the case of if, you know, X, Y, and Z, all these things have to align. It's simple. You keep Deshaun Watson healthy for the entire season. I think they have a real legit shot to win this division. I'd be tempted to say they're the favorite to win this division, and I know what Jacksonville has done in the past. We saw last year a team that's as talented as any team in the league and kind of just went roughshod through their schedule. I still think they're on equal footing with the Texans when Deshaun Watson is playing at the level he was early last season. I think it's a pick 'em. I think it's a pick 'em between the Texans and the Jags inside that division. So absolutely they could make that leap, especially if Blake Bortles doesn't kind of springboard off the success he had in the postseason. If he kind of reverts back and has some issues, absolutely the Texans could end up winning this division.
Oh, no, no question. They have the talent in place, and we saw the excitement that Deshaun Watson brought to that offense. The big thing that I want to see from Deshaun Watson, how does he play in year two? How does he adjust to the defense's adjustments? As the defense coordinators have been able to study that offense, and they make some adjustments to some of the tricks and gadgetry and up-tempo stuff that they were doing, how does he respond? And that doesn't even take into account how does he feel coming off the injury. He's a special player. We saw how dynamic he made that offense. What does Bill O'Brien have for his young quarterback in year two? That ultimately will determine if those guys are the kings of the mountain in this division.
Yeah, the worst to first move, I think, very possible there for the Texans. Now we get out to the AFC West. Denver Broncos finished last place last year, got a new quarterback, though, in Case Keenum. And if he can play like he did last year, Buck, sure, yeah, I think you can make the case these guys can make that move.
Well, I think they can make the move. I don't know if you've been hearing the reports, but coming out of Denver, everyone is excited about Bradley Chubb. They're excited about the pairing of Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. You have Chris Harris Jr. calling Chubb a young Khalil Mack. So if you think about putting Khalil Mack opposite Von Miller with what they've traditionally done on defense, man, they go back to being a top-flight defense, a championship-caliber defense. They can win the division on that alone. Then you add in a Case Keenum. Can he continue to play the way that he played a season ago? Can he take care of the ball? Can he make the plays? Can he get Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and some of their other guys going? And then the X factor for me, Royce Freeman. Royce Freeman could be
That's
the guy.
Hey,
man, got to go all in. Got to go all in. If Royce Freeman can come out and be a guy that gives them 1,200 yards on the ground, to be able to run the football, play defense, we saw that was their championship recipe. Can they get back to that? If they do, there's a chance that they can kind of surge back to the top of the AFC West.
Now, you mentioned the rookie running back. I'm going to go a couple other rookies to keep an eye on this team. Cortland Sutton, to me, and Deshaun Hamilton, if they can get either one of those guys to contribute year one, eventually that torch has to be passed down from Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to the next group of guys. We'll see. We'll see which one of those guys steps up. I think you got a good chance to see both those guys contribute year one. And I don't know. Of all the divisions we've gone through so far, the Broncos have a legitimate shot here to make that move. I'd say more so than the Browns and the Jets and the Colts. The Texans and the Broncos, I think both those teams in the AFC have a chance to make that worst to first leap.
Yeah, I think the AFC West would be very, very competitive. With John Gruden coming over, it's going to look a little old school and have an old school feel. But anytime you have a defense, your defense gives you an opportunity to go to the top of the mountain. Chubb and Miller, that pairing is going to be fantastic. But then also Derek Wolfe on the inside. I expect this defense to be at a top five level. Look for Bradley Roby to make major strides. But the guy that doesn't get talked about a lot but may really change the course of the franchise, Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator. Having Bill Musgrave kind of clean up the offense, kind of get it together, get Case Keenum on the right page, that may be the difference between the Broncos and the Chargers and some of the other teams that are vying for the top.
All right, let's get over to the NFC here. The Bears and the NFC North trying to make that leap. I was asked the other day on Twitter who's the most improved team or who will be the most improved team, and I said the Bears. Just in terms of the players, a lot of people said, well, you know, Matt Nagy, what does that mean? He's a good play caller. That'll help. Helfrich's creativity, that'll be great. But to me, this is personnel-based. This team offensively, personnel-wise, is so much better on paper than it was last year. I can't help but think they will be much improved over what we saw last season.
Much improved. You can talk about the personnel moves all day. Allen Robinson coming over, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel. I think the unleashing of Tariq Cohen, we're hearing some of the reports about he is lining up all over the formation. I believe that he could be the Bears version of Tyreek Hill in terms of the way they use him. And then when it comes to the coaching staff, Matt Nagy has done a really good job of developing quarterbacks. We saw the work that he was able to do in Kansas City. He now has the perfect pupil in Mitch Trubisky. And I don't think you can underestimate the arrival of Mark Helfrich, the college head coach turned NFL offensive coordinator, will bring some innovative ideas to the National Football League. I think he could put Mitch Trubisky in his comfort zone. This Bears offense could look different than any offense we've seen them trot out in the Windy City. I'm looking for big things for the Bears, and that pains me as a longtime Green Bay Packer.
Roquan Smith, too. I mean, that was the big addition on the defensive side of the ball. Now you've got some playmakers here at a couple different levels of the defense. That'll be big for them coming up this year. I don't think they make that leap. I just think that division is too good. I don't think they'll go all the way to the top of that division, but I think they'll be a better football team. We get to the NFC East. It's your former team, Buck. You've now traded in. You were all Giants all the time.
I haven't traded him in.
You traded in.
I didn't trade him in.
You traded in for the Cowboys.
Look, there's no limit on how many teams from the NFC East can go to the playoffs. The Giants and the Cowboys can both go to the playoffs.
He actually didn't trade them in. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. We're going to tape a worst to first segment coming up here shortly that combines all the podcasts. And Bucky picked which out of all the divisions, his favorite was the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Is that a tie? Would they tie for the Cowboys? Is that how that works?
No.
When you go to the Star this weekend, how many selfies are you going to take?
I'm not going to take any selfies. I'm not a Cowboys fan.
I don't know. If I don't have anything. The pod might beg to differ.
Today I said I wasn't going to talk about the Cowboys, but yet again, you bring up a marriage team, so here I am talking about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I'm not talking about them going from worst to first. The Dallas Cowboys went 9-7 a season ago. I think they're positioned to go right back. But as we're looking at the NFC East, the New York Giants are the team that I have my eye on. Man, I am smitten by what they could be on offense. Eli Manning returning. Look, he got his way. He's back in place as a franchise quarterback. They get him some help in Saquon Barkley. Odell Beckham Jr. returns. Offensively, Evan Ingram, the continued emergence in Sterling Shepard. They have everything that you want offensively. They fixed the offensive line. I expect a much better.
They clogged a couple holes in that boat. I think there's still a couple of holes in the right side of the line, Buck. John Jerry, Eric Flowers, you sleep well at night with that?
I do. Just run left. Don't worry about the right. Just go left.
What happens if you drop back? Will you drop back and just kind of drift?
You just drift to the left side. You just stay away from it. Don't ask guys to do what they can do. Just move away from it.
Good news, bad news. Good news is we have maybe the best young tight end or one of the best young tight ends in the NFL in Evan Ingram. Bad news is we're going to have to keep him in.
No, protect Eli. We got to let him out. He has to be a free releaser. All day. Ball comes out quick. Look. You can't do all that blitzing and rushing if you're going to play man-to-man on Odell Beckham Jr. and some of those other guys. Yeah. You got to pick your poison. I think the Giants would be fine, but I'm really excited about what they're going to do on defense. I think their new defensive coordinator, James Becher, is going to unleash the hounds. A lot of pressure, a lot of blitzes, guys coming from all over the place. It could be an exciting time in New York.
I heard some reports, by the way, Eli Apple said maybe growing up a little bit.
Yeah, you can't throw Eli
maybe
Apple
you don't
away.
Give up on it. Yeah, first-round picks, Buck. You get a couple opportunities
now. You get a couple bites at the Apple and Eli.
No pun intended. Nice. Nicely done.
Last year he struggled a little bit, but maybe he can bounce back. Landon Collins being the centerpiece said he wants to be the captain. So let's see what they do in New York. Tough competition because that division is loaded. I think all of those teams are viable contenders. You talk about the Eagles having the most talented roster in the league, the Dallas Cowboys coming back. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and then the Washington Redskins don't get a lot of attention, but their team with Alex Smith, it's tough, man. That's going to be a tough division for me. So many of my favorite players in that division. I don't know. I may not be able to watch NFC East football.
Yeah, that puts you in a bad spot, man.
Bad spot.
Let's get to the NFC South and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked about on the last pod with Jameis and his whole situation, but if you're trying to make the case, Buck, you probably start here with a defensive line with Jason Pierre-Paul, McCoy, Vita Vea, add over Vinnie Curry, get Noah Spence,
get him
up and running. I mean, they've done some things over the last couple of years here. Try and beef up this defensive line. You look on the offensive line, they've gotten physical. When you go out and get a Ryan Jensen and pair him up with Ali Marpet, you draft Alex Kappa. These are barroom brawlers that they've got up front. So I see what they're trying to do here. They're trying to become the physical team. in this division with all these hotshot quarterbacks. I see what they're trying to do here, bigger, stronger, more physical. We'll see if it can work out for them.
Yeah, they're trying to beat a rough and rugged team. I think they're going to have to play like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They're going to have to knock people around. They have to find a way to run the ball. The trick that they have to establish is you talked about their defense. I think their defense should be light years better. The pressure to me is on Vernon Hargreaves. Vernon Hargreaves has to play like a number one pick. He has to play like a first rounder. They drafted him to be a top flight corner. He has to play like that on the island. Offensively, look, I think this issue with Jameis Winston, either we're going to see the best of Jameis Winston or he's going to wash out of Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston will have to return with a renewed focus. He's going to have to play up to the hype that kind of preceded his arrival in Tampa. And I think he has the weapons around him. The guy that everyone has to look for, Rojo. Ronald Johnson has to be a player. They got to be able to get some balance in that offense. They have to be able to run the ball effectively, catch the ball out the backfield. If he can make some plays from a skill position standpoint, man, they have a lot of options, but Rojo has to be kind of a centerpiece of that offense because they need to be able to run it and control the game in that division with so many high-powered offenses that they'll face.
Yeah, look, they've got some talent on that roster, so I don't think it's all that crazy to think they can make a big leap here. I don't know if they can get to the top of the division, though. That'll be a challenge. We get out to the NFC West, the Fighting Garoppolos. This team, Buck, I know they've got some roster holes still where they are in their building process, but you've got a quarterback, you've always got a chance.
Oh, for sure. You always have a chance. And I think it's all about Jimmy G's magic. Can he continue and sustain the magic that he displayed the last five games of last season? Undefeated record. Man, this guy was completing almost 68% of his passes, which is unbelievable. Had 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, but what you like is he was able to elevate the performance of the entire squad. Can he continue to do it? I like what they've done on defense. Richard Sherman coming over, being a leader, trying to help that young secondary grow and kind of take on some of the things that they were able to do in Seattle when he was there. This defense and Jimmy Garoppolo, they didn't still add enough weapons, but I'll say the guy that you have to watch, Jerick McKinnon, the running back extraordinaire for the 49ers coming over from the Minnesota Vikings. He did some nice stuff quietly in Dalvin Cook's absence in Minnesota. Look for him to be a big part of what they want to get done. Kyle Shanahan has always done a terrific job of getting a couple of running backs the ball, not only as runners but as receivers. Let's see if he can do it with Jerick McKinnon.
I think this offensive line got a chance to be one of the better offensive lines in the league, too. You out and draft Mike McGlinchey. You go out and pick up a Weston Richburg who's outstanding. Lakin Tomlinson's kind of resurrected his career. He just got a new contract there at guard. And you've got one of the best left tackles in Joe Staley. So they have a very good offensive line to protect Jimmy Garoppolo. Whoever plays running back in a Shanahan system is going to be successful. So Jerick McKinnon, you can expect big things from him. To me, one of the, I would say, under-the-radar offseason storylines, I don't think we've talked about it at all, but their patience to let the Reuben Foster thing kind of play itself
out. Listen to the noise.
They wanted to see what would happen, and now it looks like Reuben Foster's in the clear. And make no mistake about it, when Reuben Foster was on the field last year, he was dominant, and he's got a chance to be an all-pro. He's that good and a real tempo setter for this defense. And a defense and a team and an organization that when we go back to their success, their recent success under Jim Harbaugh, was led by some very, very freakishly talented inside linebackers. And now I think it's Reuben Foster's turn to take things over. I just pray and hope that he stays out of trouble and all this stuff kind of will go away. He won't be dealing about this anymore in the future, because as a football player, Reuben Foster is a stud.
He is a stud. And I think they were wise to take their time to kind of let the process play out. They didn't pull the trigger too soon. And look, I mean, the guy came in with some issues. You knew those issues existed. You're hoping that he will mature and move away from that kind of behavior. But I think the thing that you're hoping for, if you're the 49ers, man, when we get him on the field and we kind of get him engaged and get him in the program and he is locked and loaded as the leader of that defense, that he's going to not only respond to the added responsibility, but he's going to thrive. And I think with guys like Richard Sherman around him and some of the other guys that they have on that side, I think he has a chance to be a special player. And if he just plays like he flashed last year, San Francisco 49ers defense is going to be lights out.
No question. All right, let's have some fun here. This is our way, 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 way too early week one preview. And this is what I want to do, so we can kind of go rapid fire through this, Buck. Mm-hmm. We'll end up with 2 storylines per game, so you can lead us off on each game and give us kind of the one storyline you'll be looking to. And obviously, a lot of things are going to change between now and the first week. By the way, have some fun. Get out in front of this thing. The first game of the year, It's a humdinger. The Falcons at the Super Bowl champion Eagles on the Thursday nighter here. What's the storyline there for that game?
I'm going to be looking at the tunnel, and I just want to see which guy's going to run out the tunnel. Is it going to be Carson Wentz or Nick Foles? I want to know if Carson Wentz is going to be back and available, and is he going to be able to return to playing at the MVP level that he displayed. Had a conversation with a coach, a former coach yesterday, who said, look, man, this dude is the real deal. I know that the coaches did a great job of elevating Nick Foles, but Carson Wentz is the real deal. He's a special player. He's worthy of all the accolades that he's received. Let's see if he can come out and continue to build upon the momentum that he started a season ago.
No, that's a good one. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to the other side here. And this team, I'm anxious to see one of the rookies. I don't know. We haven't talked about him at all since the draft ended. How about Calvin Ridley? Kind of see how they sprinkle him in and use him. This is an explosive player to pair up with Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu. This offense has a chance to be one of the best offenses in the NFL with all the ability they have in there. Steve Sarkisian, another year here to get comfortable. This could be a shootout here. As much talent as Philadelphia has on the defensive line, I think we could find ourselves in a shootout here week one.
Oh, I got my glasses on, and I'm looking dead at Steve Sarkisian. It's all on you, bruh. It's all on you to get this offense going. If we're playing the video game, the Atlanta Falcons are one of the first teams that I'm going for because offensively they have every weapon that you could ask for. They got a big-time playmaker in Julio Jones. They got a big receiver in Mohamed Sanu. You got the flashy new addition in Calvin Ridley. Two backs in the backfield. You have an MVP-level quarterback. Man, if you can't play the sticks, you can't play the game with these guys, there's a problem. Sarkisian, year two, he has to find a way to get this team to average 28 to 29 points a game. If they can hit those magic numbers, man, the Atlanta Falcons could get another opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, Bills-Ravens.
Bills-Ravens, when's number 8 going to play? When is Lamar Jackson going to get onto the field?
There.
I think it's all about Lamar Jackson. Joe Flacco can have a remarkable camp. He can light it up in preseason. But everyone is waiting to see what are the Baltimore Ravens going to do with Lamar Jackson. And it's their own fault. They shouldn't have hyped him up. They've hyped him up throughout the offseason. Right now, I am sitting here waiting. I'm waiting to see what Lamar Jackson is able to add to an offense that desperately needs some juice. They added some playmakers. But, man, if you can get an exciting playmaker back there under center, running around, making things happen, that's something that we've never seen from the Baltimore Ravens. I guess they had Cordell Stewart, but the older Cordell Stewart who couldn't really move around much.
I picked up Cordell Stewart from the airport in my 1994 Accord where the window didn't roll all the way down, and he wasn't too pleased about it. I thought he knew what kind of contract he was looking at when he saw what I picked him up in.
Do you at least have AC?
I had AC.
Okay,
that's good.
So you didn't have to roll down the windows.
It kind of sucked because he couldn't get the window all the way up.
Gotcha.
Anyways, he did so. I remember he got in the car and he said, my favorite color is purple. I think this is going to work out. And I thought,
isn't that nice?
Sure. All right, here we go. Then we go to, I'll give you one quick. Josh Allen's the other one would be my other storyline. The other rookie quarterback could be potentially starting in that game.
Oh, Nate Peterman too. Nate Peterman could be the starter.
The star of the summer.
Fun fact, I sat right next to Nate Peterman at the last Kings game I went to.
Nice.
Yeah, just
really
random fun fact there.
Why is he in L.A.? He needs to be working on his game.
Working out. I guess he's working out in L.A.
So. They're all out there, Buck. Yeah. Everybody works out in the West. All right, let's go a little more rapid fire here. Let's go Jags-Giants. To me, I'm jumping on this one. This is the Jags D-line against this remade Giants offensive line that Bucky's already going to put in the Hall of Fame right now. See how this
I think offensively they have the potential to light it up. I think the big thing that I want to see is Jalen Ramsey versus Odell Beckham Jr.
Woo!
Yeah, fire
that's a good
works.
That's a little motivation for both those guys in the offseason.
Fire works. Yeah, that should be a fun one to watch. And then how are the Giants going to use Saquon Barkley? I'm really fascinated more so by that. A lot of conversations always about Pat Shurmur, but Mike Shula is technically the offensive coordinator. What kind of plan does he put in place? I know Pat Shurmur is going to call the plays, but let's see how they feature their young running back. Do they use him as a runner? Do they feature him as a receiver? How do they try and maximize his value to make life easy for Eli Manning?
All right, divisional game, Bucks at Saints.
Bucks at Saints, I mean, Fitzmagic versus that New Orleans Saints defense. Can that defense
young
continue to play? They're young and fast. They play pretty well down the stretch. Let's see if they can continue to get it done under Dennis Allen.
I'm with you on that one. Let's get to Texans-Patriots. Round two here. Deshaun Watson lit him up. Can he do it again?
Hey, man, it's all about Deshaun Watson. Which Deshaun Watson shows up? man, he played so well. He talked about just the matchup and how he gained confidence having going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. Let's see what Bill Belichick does the second go-round. What does he do to make Deshaun Watson uncomfortable? And better yet, what does Deshaun Watson do to counter the tactics that Bill Belichick brings against him?
Yeah, this is kind of one of those deals. You give Bill Belichick that much time to get ready for somebody, we'll see what happens. Although, this to me reeks of the Patriots laying an egg and losing by like 25 points, and then we say they're done and this is it. It's finally going to happen, and they rip off like 10 games in a row.
Oh, you think that's how it goes down?
They do that at some point in time. They lay an egg at some point in time early in the season. We all write them off, and then they get hot. 49ers, Vikings, Jimmy G, and Kirk Cousins. How about that?
Hey, man, that's what it's all about. And I think the bigger thing, the test will be
we got the Shanahan-Kirk Cousins reunion there. You thought he was going to be on the other sideline in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fun thing will be looking at that matchup take place. But better yet, how does Jimmy G respond going against a solid defense? You talk about defense that is loaded. Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter coming off the edges, Anthony Barr. Then you talk about that secondary with all those stars. This will be probably the stiffest challenge that he faced. And I know I'm saying that knowing that he picked apart a Jacksonville Jaguars defense at the end of the season. But this team here, what Mike Zimmer does, how they will attack him, we will have a quick opportunity to see how good is Jimmy Garoppolo really. This defense is going to challenge him in a ton of different ways.
Big-time challenge there. How about Titans, Dolphins? You've got a couple quarterbacks looking to have big years here. Marcus Mariota, a little disappointing year, although showed some things in the playoffs, and you've got Ryan Tannehill coming off injury. That's the quarterback matchup.
Yeah, the quarterback matchup is significant. Matt LaFleur, what is he going to do with Marcus Mariota? How does Marcus Mariota respond? Is he healthy? Is he able to use his legs? Can he continue to evolve as a pocket passer? We want to see that. We want to also see what Mike Vrabel does with that defense. He has his guy in place, Dean Pease, as the D coordinator. How does that evolve? And then for the Miami Dolphins, they blew out all the guys that they said were bad apples. It's a culture change. Well, let's see what that looks like on the field. You lost a really good player in Jarvis Landry, who steps up in the wide receiver core. And better yet, can we finally see Ryan Tannehill play like a guy that they say that he can be a franchise quarterback? Let's see it. He has to put it on display.
All right, get to the next game here. Bengals, Colts, and will or won't he? Willie or won't he with Andrew Luck? Obviously, that's going to be the big storyline. And then for the Bengals, to me, Buck, I think this team, we talk about trying to play bully ball, trying to be physical up front. You go draft a Billy Price. You trade for a Cordy Glenn. To me, this looks like a team that wants to run the football, and Joe Mixon could be the beneficiary there.
Yeah, Joe Mixon wants the football. They want to give it to him. They need to hand it to him. I thought he was the most talented running back in last year's class, and that's even with Alvin Kamara and those other guys doing what they were able to do. I think this guy is untapped resource in terms of what he can bring to this team. I look for him to be more active, not only as a runner, but catching the ball out the backfield. If they can build the offense around him with A.J. Green as a very, very nice complement, those two guys working together as one and two in the game plan in terms of the priority, I think the Bengals can score a lot of points. Defensively, they have some young guys that they added, and I think their rookie class could actually be some solid contributors. But really, the big issue, the big question is going to be, look, number 12, Andrew Luck will have an opportunity to go. Can he hold up? We haven't seen him throw a real football. Maybe he'll throw a real football in that game. He can't play with the college ball. Let's see how he throws against what should be a better defense.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the biggest storyline, maybe the biggest storyline of the entire week one. Will be Andrew Luck and his health, and is he ready to go? Next, we get to the Steelers at the Browns. Are the Browns back? Is this team finally going to turn the corner? Tyrod Taylor, all this excitement, or the Steelers going to come in there and kind of blow out that flame in a hurry?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I know it's early. It's a too early preview, but I'm ready to guarantee this one. I'm ready to put a guarantee out there.
You put the Browns?
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. The Browns are going to win
the
opener at the Dog
Pound.
The new look Browns are going to win the opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's not going to be close.
So you've got the Browns in a blowout over Ben, Brown, and Bell. That's a lot of B's there.
Yep.
I like the fact you like seven plus points, right?
7+ points is a blowout.
Do you agree
That's
with that?
A blowout?
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vegas.
Do I agree that the Browns are going to blow out the Steelers in week one? If I'll say this, it's possible. It's possible.
They're ready for it.
Le'Veon Bell doesn't show up.
I wanted to hit Bucky with the Browns sick that week. Say
and
no.
If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't make the trip. No, this is not. This is this. Trust me. Having worked for Cleveland, I know how this works. The enthusiasm and the excitement. The buildup is slow and steady, but the fall is quick and sudden, and that's, to me, what's going to happen here in week one. All this excitement, and I think the Steelers go into Cleveland and kind of do what they normally do.
Same. So Bucky
remember,
is.
Yeah, I remember. I'm out there. I don't mind. You got a new offensive coordinator. New offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Lev Bell, probably isn't going to participate in training camp. Takes a while for him to get – look, you go back and look. It took him a while for him to get his legs. This is a prime opportunity for the Cleveland Browns to put a whooping on.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, Buck, and I hate to do this to the Browns fans because I do think the roster's in a lot better shape. They've got some good players there. But here's what the thing. Todd Haley's going to come running out of the tunnel. He's going to come running out of the tunnel, and he's going to look and go, man, that was my team on the right? Now I got to go to this team on the left. He's going to start questioning himself a little bit there.
Oh, no, I think he feels good. Life. I think he feels like he jumped off the ship at the right time. He's on an ascending squad. Maybe the team that he was on was descending. And also, he has all the intel on your quarterback. You know, your quarterback.
Got to rack this, though. Make sure we have this racked. We can bring it back here.
Oh, I'm going to look like a genius. I'm going to be a guru. I got this
one. You might.
I'm good. I'm good on this one. I know I got this one. That's money. Book that.
All right. All right, Chiefs, Chargers, big game here, AFC West.
Oh, we're rolling out the Ferrari. That's how I've heard so many people refer to
Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes. We're rolling him out. We're going to see baby Brett Favre in a red uniform against the L.A. Chargers. And this could be an outstanding debut for him in terms of being the full-time starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like what they've done offensively. Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. They have Kareem Hunt coming back. But it's all about the quarterback. Can the quarterback take care of the ball, get the ball to the playmakers? We'll see. The L.A. Chargers defense is loaded,
no
man.
Joke.
Those pass
They're
rushers.
No joke, man.
Those pass rushers are coming off the edge. But, you know, the Chargers are notorious slow starters. This might be the right time for Pat Mahomes to get them. I'm just saying, keep your eye on Pat Mahomes. Everyone's talking
Here's
about
Here's the thing. The Pat Mahomes, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Tyreek Hill. We're going to talk about Sammy Watkins. When I look at the key to this game, just looking at the matchup way too early, the Chiefs got to get Kelce going because that's the one who could give the Chargers some trouble. When you look at the Chargers, you're trying to find some weakness on this defense, which is stacked. Maybe you look at that linebacker position, being able to cover a tight end could be a little bit of a concern there. But you also have to look at the fact that, hey, we went out and drafted Derwin James. Maybe that's what he was drafted for. Maybe that's a situation where you can say, hey, Kelsey's yours, and we've got three, four really
first
talented
game,
corners to deal
First game,
else.
We're going to lock him up on Travis Kelce?
Let's go. That'll be fun to watch. Hey, look, this is going to be two of the big storylines in offseason, how great this Chargers defense could be with what they've done and the talent they have. And then this Chiefs offense, man, it's good on good. That's going to be fun to watch. How about Seahawks-Broncos?
I think I'm gonna take the Seahawks angle. I'm curious to see what this offense looks like with Brian Schottenheimer. Brian Schottenheimer takes over. Everything that you're hearing from Seahawks land, you know, we're getting back to basics. We're going back to our old identity. We're going to be a rough and
level.
Rugged team.
Give me your confidence level on that Seahawks offense right now.
No matter what the scale is, I'm going to say zero. So whatever you put it on, 1 to 10, 1 to 100, I don't have a lot of confidence. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the play caller because we've seen this. Like I saw him when he was a play caller with the L.A. Rams. It's going to be a lot of verbiage, a lot of stuff. They do a lot of motion and stuff, but I wonder about the production. I also wonder when it comes to being able to kind of turn back the clock and be what they once were, I don't know if they're built like that. I don't know if they're built to be a rugged team that can run and kind of mash people. I don't think their offensive line necessarily is constructed to do that. And then we'll see if Rashad Penny can do it. I liked him coming out of San Diego State. I just don't know if he's a Marshawn Lynch type. Let's see how they choose to use the toys. But, yeah, I'm worried about the Seattle Seahawks offense. And I'm also worried about their defense because they have lost a lot of talent the last few years. I don't know if they can be back to that team that once lorded over the division. We'll see if Ken Norton can find a way to get him back.
To me, this Seahawks team, Bucky, is a roster. It's a 6-10 roster with a 12-4 quarterback.
Oof.
So what does that give you? I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't know. You talk about the verbiage in the offense. How long does it take to say scramble in the huddle? Because that's kind of what they're going to be doing here. I don't think the personnel is very good, but the quarterback is a special talent, and he covers up a lot of that. So
he does cover it up.
Would you be shocked if this team went 5-11? Would you really be shocked?
No, I just wrote down on the paper 8-8. Like
he starts
eight,
whining and crying. You got me whining and crying back here.
Oh, poor silly.
He does. All right. You know.
Let's get to the next one here. Your Cowboys and the Panthers.
The team that doesn't get enough recognition, I'm not going to talk about. I'm going to take the Panthers team. It's about Cam Newton and what he does with North Turner. North Turner is intent on making this guy a high percentage passer. Can he get him to 60, 65%? That's something that Cam doesn't really typically do. So how do they change their offense to build around Cam while making it more efficient? They have some better playmakers on the outside. You think about bringing over a DJ Moore. You have Devin Funchess kind of settling into his role. Greg Olsen is still there. And then you have Christian McCaffrey, another year. How did he utilize him out the backfield? It's about Cam Newton making plays, being efficient, being effective from the pocket.
To me, this is the first official game of the Dak Prescott Cowboys. Now, I know he started a bunch of games for them, but when you look at what's gone, Tony Romo obviously is gone. He survived Tony Romo. Now you look at team leaders, offensive leaders, Jason Witten, guys like Dez Bryant. These veterans are all moved on. This is 100% Dak Prescott's team, and this is his first chance to kind of show off what that team looks like. So I'm anxious to see what that Cowboy offense, you've talked about it a bunch in terms of kind of the no-name receiving core. Can he elevate their play? This would be interesting to see what Dak Prescott gives us here against a group that's pretty darn good, and the Panthers on the defensive side of the ball especially. Redskins-Cardinals.
Redskins-Cardinals, the debut of Alex Smith. Smith taking on a Cardinals defense. I think the Cardinals defense is going to be pretty good. But the weapons that the Redskins have surrounded around Alex Smith, I think he has an opportunity to continue to play at the level that we saw last year in Kansas City. Josh Dobson should be a stud in this league. Jameson Crowder being able to work underneath. But really the focal point of their offense is going to be the running game and Darius Geis. We're hearing good reports from Darius Geis, the way he's able to run inside and outside. He's going to be a bell cow. For them to get him in the second round was a huge steal. He is their best running back that they've had since Clinton Porter, so I'm excited to see what that offense looks like.
With the Cardinals, I'm excited to see what Steve Wilks has his team looking like at this point. Early in the season, first game, are they ready to go? The return of David Johnson. So much talk about who's going to play quarterback. Is it Sam Bradford? Is it Josh Rosen? To me, the return of David Johnson will be a huge storyline in that game. We've got a couple more here. Let's get through them here. Bears-Packers.
Bears-Packers, I'm excited. I should be at that game. It's alumni night for the Packers.
Oh, nice.
The 100th season of the Green Bay Packers, I'm excited. I should be in the building. Want to see them take on the bitter rivals, the Chicago Bears. For the Bears, we talked about it early, worst of worst. I want to see this offense. I want to see what Mitch Trubisky looks like against a Mike Pettine defense that is poised to be more aggressive, more of an attack-style defense that we've seen in Green Bay. How does the young quarterback fare against a defense that is intent on knocking them around?
Selfishly with the Packers, for me, I want to see this trio of rookie receivers. Can any of them get on the field and make some plays here? Jamon Moore, you look at Marquez Valdez-Scantling from University of South Florida, and then Equanimeous St. Brown, who's big physical target coming out of Notre Dame. I know they've got some other receivers already on the roster. I'm looking for one of those three rookies during training camp to emerge, get on the field, and make some plays. So I'm anxious to find out which one of those guys steps up to the plate for the Packers. Jets-Lions, this is the first of the doubleheader on Monday night.
Man, Jets and Lions, that's an interesting game. For the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford, the continued emergence and the connection that he has with Jim Bob Cooter, how can they get this offense going? Can Kerryon Johnson get on the field and give them a 100-yard rusher? If they can get any semblance of a running game, it will help them. It helped them so much, really take the blanket off the passing game, and we can see the Lions kind of be able to play control the action football, meaning they possess the ball, they control it, they do some things that allows their defense to rest up on the sideline. Let's see if they can get just enough from their running game to offset what they need to get done in the passing game to help that defense survive.
How about the return of Chucky? John Gruden on the sideline for the Oakland Raiders. That's going to be fun to watch. What does this team look like? You talked about his mission to try and go back in the time machine here and go back and play the game the way it was played a while back. Can this team be a physical smash-mouth team?
What's Derek
Carr going to look like? There's going to be a lot of things. This of all the teams in the NFL – this is a great mystery to me, what the Raiders are going to look like.
Great mystery, because no one has any idea how the Raiders will look. He's talked about taking it back to 1998. They're going to bring the fullback back. They want to be physical. They're going to go back and kind of play some two-back straight eye formation. I want to really watch and see what their relationship is like with him and Derek Carr. Is he able to take a young quarterback and do it? Because remember, he has cycled through a ton of quarterbacks during his time, first at Oakland, then during his time at Tampa Bay. Never really settled into a young quarterback that he liked. Always had a preference for veterans. How does he get along with a younger Derek Carr? Can they find kind of that middle ground that allows them to play well?
Now that's that game against the Rams, the second of that doubleheader. And that Rams team, will Aaron Donald be there to harass Derek Carr, will be a big storyline there for the Rams. And then can they take another step? That offense, most improved in the league last year, with McVay doing wonders with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and company. Is there more room for them to grow? Brandon Cooks comes in there to replace the Sammy Watkins. All those new pieces in that secondary. Dominican Sue joining that defensive front. I mean, this is a Rams team that kind of put all their chips in. What do they look like against John Gruden's Raiders in that Monday nighter? Will be fun to watch.
Yeah, it will be fun to watch. It'll be exciting. A lot of people are excited about what they want to do in the black hole. Man, I can't wait to see it. But I can't wait to see the Rams because I think the Rams are going to be good. I want to see what Brandon Cooks adds to that offense.
All right, we've got Jets at Lions. We'll see if Sam Darnold starts at quarterback for the Jets. That's going to be fun, the first of those Monday nighters. And then Rams-Raiders to finish it off. Going to be fun to finish up that first week. That was our way too early storylines there for the NFL season. How about, Buck, on the college thing? I know we're running out of time. Just give me one game here, week one, that early on, kind of forecasting, looking ahead, is your favorite week one matchup. What do you got?
FAU versus OU.
Whoa.
Lane Kiffin versus Lincoln Riley. I want to see what Lane Kiffin has up his sleeve. Look, they are debuting the young offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., 25 years old.
He's not calling any plays. Lane's calling all the plays.
He's the offensive coordinator. I'm just going
by
his title.
Notes.
Look, they are supposed to be kindred spirits when it comes to the way they look at the game offensively. I want to see if they're able to challenge this OU team with some of the schemes that they tried out. So that's one of the things that I'm looking for. But when it comes down to a real game that I'm watching, how about Auburn versus UW
that's a big one.
In Atlanta on the first? And the reason I want to see this, Jarrett Stidham is one of the top quarterbacks that we have talked about in the run-up to the next draft. Well, let's see what he looks like. The one thing that we know is going to happen from Washington, they're going to be coached up well. They're going to challenge you in a different way. Let's see how the young guy plays on the big stage.
Yeah, that's the marquee game. But to me, I'm going to go Michigan-Notre Dame. And you made your bold prediction earlier calling the Browns shot over the Steelers. I'm going to make a bold prediction, not necessarily in the fact that they're going to win. Michigan is going to go to Notre Dame, and they are going to blow the doors off Notre Dame. And
wow.
It's going to be an apology after the game is over. From a lot
doors?
Of people in the media that have gone after Harbaugh and said, okay, Mr. Overrated.
I love this pick.
Thank you. I love that drop. Buck, I went back and watched Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. When you're watching that Michigan defense, there's a lot of guys that jump out at you. They are going to be outstanding. Don Brown does a great job with that group. They're very talented. A lot of people back. And then you look at the quarterback in Shea Patterson. I think it's the best quarterback that Jim Harbaugh will have had there at Michigan. I think this is a statement game. I really do. I think they go in there, Notre Dame. Wimbush, to me, inconsistent as a passer going up against that defense. I think they turn it over a bunch, and I think this gets ugly with Michigan winning that ball game.
I'm all on the Michigan hype train this year, so I'm with you.
They're going to be good, man. I'm telling you.
That defense
going
is
to
nasty.
Be
Shea Patterson is
everybody
exactly
was all over
needed.
Them last year.
Wow.
The
they
whole got team got
weapons.
Drafted the year before. Lost everybody.
Love weapons
so
on the outside.
Hytham, a lot of excitement back there. I got my guy talking about blowouts. I got Sully out there jumping up and down with pom-poms. I mean, geez.
That's my call. There
my
are some
goodness.
Other good games, though. Man. Like Alabama-Louisville ain't going to be good.
You know what?
LSU-Miami, VTech-FSU, Sunday and Monday will be fun ones.
Yeah, LSU-Miami could be pretty good. We'll see the U. VTech, Florida State. Interesting.
One bit of advice. If you're a Penn State Nittany Lion fan, don't sleep well Friday night.
Here come the Mountaineers, baby.
The Mountaineers are playing.
Mountaineers are coming. Happy Valley, let's go get some.
Wow.
Coming around the mountain.
I wonder if it's.
I tried to poor mouth the squad when I talked to McSorley. I was like, we're lose our quarterback. You guys need to be fine.
You talking about Trace McSorley? Did you tell me off camera you think he should be a safety?
I said I think he said he was recruited as a safety.
Oh, recruited as a safety. All right.
He was recruited as a safety.
Trying to get him.
Thank you, Sully.
I'm a DM and say, hey, my podcast partner who went to Appalachian State says that your destiny is to play in the back end.
I see you working. I talked to CD, by the way. I talked to Charles Davis, who just got back from the Manning camp. He said that Trace threw it well down there.
Yeah. Hey,
we're going to get the full recap from Rhett.
Yeah, for sure.
Rhett Lewis, our buddy, was down there at the Manning camp. As he does every year, he'll come on next week. I think while you're at the opening, he's going to join me, and we're going to kind of recap the Manning camp. So
that should be fun.
That's one of the better pods, too, because you have the insight of
all the
Mannings.
Stories.
And it's the story. It's all about the stories. It's a fun
to find out who Cooper Manning's
Rhett's
making
okay.
fun of.
Rhett's okay. He's all right.
He's all right. Yeah, yeah, we'll keep him. All right, Buck, anything? What are you working on? What do you want? What we got to promote here? What we got going on?
Ooh, the notebook. We're going to talk about some of the things that we talked about on the podcast. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, dynamic duo. That is terrific. We're going to talk about Pat Mahomes being compared to Brett Favre. I'm going to shed a little insight having played with Brett Favre when Andy Reid was there in the mid-90s. And then I'm going to talk about everything that I learned from the top 100 list. We talked about it the other day. It's all about passers, playmakers, and pass rushers. That's what you have to have.
There you go. That's find that Bucky's notebook there, Bucky's book. You can find that NFL.com/BuckyBrooks and keep up with what he's got going on there. You're not going to want to miss that. I've got some first look reports coming up. Once we finish this, I got to finish writing up Jarrett Stidham, the Auburn quarterback. That'll be up soon. And then Rashawn Gary came up earlier this week. And then next week, I got my last two, I believe, of the series, which is Will Greer from West Virginia, who we had a chance to visit with at the Elite 11, and then A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss. So you can be on the lookout for those as well. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Fun show. Hope you enjoyed it. Appreciate you guys leaving us your reviews and your ratings, all that fun stuff at Apple Podcasts. Be sure to check out all of our videos, NFL.com/MTS video, as well as on YouTube on the NFL channel. We've got lots of videos coming your way, including our Under 30 series, which we take different positions and talk about who we would want for one play, one drive, one game, and for the next 5 years. We've got some more of those coming your way, so be on the lookout for those. Sully Hytham, thank you guys so much for what you do. We appreciate you, and we'll catch you back here on Move the Sticks next week.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.